takes a heart. It's nice to come into church and just get a good worship and get a good word. It just does something to your soul. It just lifts you up a little bit better. And I am so grateful for all of you that make ministry both possible and rewarding here at Newberry. I just bless you. Thank you, man. And just, it's a joy. Every time that organ fires up, there's something that takes place on the inside. I don't know what you are. I love that B3. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. You stay there for a while. I want to share a word with you this morning, taken from the book of Amos. It's a small book for those of you who are guests with us today and not familiar with me much. I save all my sermons and put them into books and categories, and so every year I go over and look at what I've preached on and what I haven't preached on and notice that I was a little deficient in the minor prophets. So I'm spending some time with the minor prophets, and so we are in the book of Joel. So Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, and then Amos. If not, go to page 1080. Should get you in the right place. Joel, it's good to see you, Joel. It's good. Sister Huffington, I have not a chance to meet you, but I'm assuming that... No? Okay, well, I'll get myself in trouble then. Quiet. I thought you told me your wife came up, brother.
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay, all right. Okay. I'm going to get myself in trouble then. I'll leave that alone. Woo! That was close. Oh, glory. When you find Amos, say amen. Amos chapter 3. Ross and Joseph, would you guys come? And we've got 15 verses. And would you read 7.5 and 7.5, and we should have it covered. How would that? Joseph, you can take, Ross will take the first 7.
Let's go along on the screen as we read it.
Join me together if you want. Motion to go. Hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, You only have I known of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he hath taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he will reveal his secret unto his servants, the prophets.
Joseph, why don't you start at verse 7 anyway? That's a nice verse for us to know.
At 7? Could we go back, please? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The lion had roared, who will not fear? The Lord God had spoken, who can but prophesy? Publish in the place palaces at Ashdod, and in the palaces in the land of Egypt, and say, assemble yourselves upon the mountains of Samaria, and behold the great tumults in the midst thereof, and the oppressed in the midst thereof. For they know not to do right, said the Lord, who store up violence and robbery in their palaces. Therefore thus said the Lord God, an adversary there shall be, even round about the land, and he shall bring down thy strength from thee, and thy palaces shall be spoiled. Thus said the Lord, as the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs, or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria in the corner of a bed, and in Damascus in a couch. Hey, ear, testify in the house of Jacob, said the Lord God, the God of hosts, that in the day that I shall visit the transgressions of Israel upon him, I will also visit the altars of Bethel, and the horns of the altars shall be cut off and fall to the ground. And I will smite the winter houses with the summer house, and the houses of ivory shall perish, and the great houses shall have an end, said the Lord.
This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
It is the unadulterated,
inspired,
authoritative,
the
Word of God.
For my life.
I will read it slowly.
I will read it prayerfully.
I will read it carefully.
I will abide by its precepts.
I will live by its principles.
And I will stand on its promises.
I declare it
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Look at your neighbor eyeball to eyeball and say, neighbor, when you don't know what to do,
look back.
Look
at your other neighbor and say, neighbor, when you don't know what to do,
look back.
Amen.
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 Sometimes
we find ourselves
in
a state
where
we don't know
what to do.
The
present
can be
rough sometimes.
And
if you try
to look ahead,
you
have no
sense of
clarity
or direction.
And
so sometimes
it's unwise
to move ahead
when you don't
know
what is
around the
corner.
But
you are
stuck
because
you're in
a predicament.
And
sometimes
the
only thing
that
you can
do
to
help you
get
through
your
situation
is
to look back.
Because
in
looking
back,
you
may
discover
the
mighty
hand
and
the good
works
of Almighty
God
in
your
life
during
the
past.
And
sometimes
you will
need
that
to
get
you
unstuck
from
where
you
are
today
so that
you can move
forward
into
your
destiny.
Amen.
Now,
let
me give
you
the
context
so that
I don't
lose anyone.
Here
is a prophet.
This
man,
Amos,
he was
a shepherd.
And
he wasn't
making
a lot of
money
as a
shepherd,
so he was
collecting
sycamore
fruits
to
help
supplement
his
income.
In
the
process
of doing
that,
now
this
is about
760
BC,
in
the
process
of doing
that,
God
calls
Amos
from being
a
shepherd
of
the
four-legged
sheep
to become
a
shepherd
of the
two-legged
sheep.
And
he
has
to
speak
God's
word.
Now,
here's
the
context.
Today,
we
have
66
books
that
we
are
considered
to be
the canon of
scripture.
They had
to go
through some
tests
to
get
into
the
Bible.
So we
got
66
books.
But
in
760
BC,
there
were
no
completed
Bibles.
And
so
when
God
spoke,
it's
not
like
he's
speaking
today
where
I can
read
the text.
He
would use
a man
or
a woman
or
whatever
he
chose
to
use
to
speak
and
to
communicate
his
word
to
his
people.
And
when
that
word
was
communicated,
it
was
on
the
same
level
as
the
Bible
is
for
us
today.
So
when
the
prophet
got
up
to
speak
and
said,
thus
said
the Lord,
it
was
as
if
the
Lord
himself
was
present
and
speaking
to
them.
Are you
still
with
me?
So
Amos
is
going
to
Israel.
God
called
him
from
shepherding
the
two-legged,
four-legged
sheep
to
the
two-legged
sheep.
And
he's
gone
to
Israel
to
speak
to
them.
But
the interesting
thing
about
this
text
is
that
Amos
is
not
the
first
prophet
that
God
has
sent
to
speak
to
Israel.
Israel
was
in
a
state
of
complacency
is
not
the
right word,
but
they
weren't
under
pressure.
Sometimes
when
people
are
under
pressure,
they are
more
spiritually
aware
of
what's
going
on
around
them.
I don't
want
too
much
grief,
but
a little
bit
of grief
keeps
you
on your
knees.
Too
much
grief
will push
you
off the bridge.
But
a little
grief
will
keep
you on
your
knees.
Israel
have
been
living
in
a time
of
economic
prosperity.
And what tends to happen when people begin to live in economic prosperity? God seems to go out the window. And so if you will just back up to Amos chapter 2, verse 12, to flip the page in your Bible, you will see that when Amos began to prophesy, Brother Marion, the people told Amos to stop because they did not want to hear anything that God had to say. It's a sad day when God's people don't want to hear God's word. Amen? So Amos chapter 2, verse 12, they tell them to quit preaching, and God had sent all the prophets there, and they didn't want to hear the word of God because they were living in an environment and in a state of economic prosperity. And so life was good. And so when life is good, we have no need for God. But then God decided that he was going to speak to his children. And I want you to know this morning that God is continuously speaking in our lives. Do I have any witnesses in the house? He is speaking to us through his word that we've just read. He has spoken to us by his son, Jesus Christ. And he continues to speak to us through the operation of the Holy Spirit. Do I have any believers in the house this morning who knows and experience the infilling of the Holy Spirit? And God is continuously speaking to us in history, just as he spoke to the children of Israel in about 740 BC. The big picture for us today at New Hope is whether we are in a position to be spiritually sensitive to hear what God is saying to us, and not only to hear what God is saying to us, but to obey what God is also saying to us. And so, at the time of our text, Israel had been continuously being spoken to by God, but they chose not to listen and to ignore what God was saying to them, even though the message was very clear. We can all point our fingers at Israel this morning, but there are many people that are sitting within the sound of my voice that God's been speaking to them and the message has been clear, but they refuse to do anything with the message. I'm not going to get any amens on that one, but the truth's true. Amen. God has been speaking to many of you sitting in those chairs, and you have turned a deaf ear to the word of God and to the voice of God. But there's hope for us, so keep listening. God is speaking to them, and they don't know what to do. And as I was studying the text, if you go to verse 10 of chapter 3, verse 10 of chapter 3 tells us that they, Israel, did not know how to do right, declares the Lord. It's a sad day when God has to declare that his people, whom he has loved and chosen and have done many wonders for them, are at a place in their lives where they do not know how to do right. Now listen, we can talk about Israel, but the fact that Israel is unable to determine what is right and wrong tells me that their moral compass was compromised. Are we now living in a time when our spiritual compass is becoming compromised? There used to be a time that certain things used to be wrong. Today, those things are right. There used to be certain things that were right. Now those things are wrong, and vice versa. And we are living in an environment that if we are not careful, certain things that we would think that were wrong, we start calling those things right. I was listening, when we were camping, I was listening to the radio. I was doing some dishes, and there was a lady on there, and they were talking about dating. And this new form of dating, I couldn't remember all the terminology that they used, but this young lady said that she was dating a guy for 8 months, and all of a sudden he stopped calling and returning her phone calls. So she began to panic and didn't know whether he was okay, if he had died, or something happened to him. And so she went by his house, only to find out that he was all well and good, but he chose to stop dating her without giving her any kind of explanation or even saying to her that the relationship was over. She was saying on the radio that after 8 months, she did not know if he was her boyfriend or not. And I began to think to myself, there used to be a time that even before you dated a young lady, you would go and talk to her father. and have the parents' permission, and after two or three dates, it will be established that you are in an exclusive relationship. But I'm learning today you could be dating 5 or 6 people all at the same time and be open about it. There used to be a time when you did that, you had to cover it up. But now you can do it openly. And you can dump somebody with a text message. I mean, times are changing. I think the moral compass is getting corrupt. I don't have to return your call. I don't have to tell you that we're broken up. I can just not answer the phone. Just bounce the email. And so we find that Israel is living in a state where they're enjoying economic prosperity, but their moral compasses have become corrupt. And verse number 10 of the text tells us that they don't know any longer how to do right. So when you are in a position where you don't know how to do right, you can't move forward because you might make the wrong decision. And the only help that you have, you can stay stuck, or maybe you can look back and see where God has brought you from. And this is what I want to talk to you about today. And so when you don't know what to do, I came by this morning to tell you, just take a few minutes and look back and see where God has brought you from. In verses 1 and 2 of our text, we read that God told Israel that he chose them. It says that in fact, God is speaking to the entire, not just a few people in Israel, but all of the people. Hear this word. The Lord has spoken against you, O people of Israel, against the whole family. I brought you out of Egypt. You alone only have I chosen of all the families of the earth. And so when I look at the text, I said to myself, how could I encourage New Hope this morning? And here is Israel, who had forgotten or chooses not to remember what God has done for them. And so my first point for you today is that when you don't know what to do, you can look back upon the great love of God. Amen. Look back upon God's great love. And the text says, hear this word that God has spoken to you. He says, God, and he emphasizes by speaking to the whole family that he had brought them out of Egypt. This was a wonderful relationship that had been expressed in Israel's history by caring and protecting and the providing hands of God. The problem that Israel had was because they had received promises from God that he was going to bless them through Abraham, and they were going to be a blessed people. And they felt, well, God has already promised us that he's going to bless us, so all we have to do is just show up in church on Sunday, say a couple of prayers before we have our meals, and that would be satisfaction for our spiritual health and development. But God is saying through the prophet Amos, this is not adequate for me. I need more than just a Sunday visit and a few religious activities. There is a message in here for us today. And so Israel had gotten used to God's presence for them, and they had gone now to a place where they had taken God's grace and mercy for granted. Can I tell you something, New Hope? You better not take God's people nor God's blessing nor anything that belongs to God for granted. Israel had come to believe that however they lived, as long as they just observed a few certain religious practices, that would be enough, and that God would care for them automatically, and they would have to just continue. Now God was saying through Amos that their presumption was not acceptable. And I want to say to you that if you would expect the blessings, you have to also step up to the responsibilities. Not too much shouting on that one. If you want the blessings, you've got to step up to the responsibilities. You can't have the blessings without the responsibilities. Hello, somebody. We have a lot of men running around with our sisters, enjoying all the blessings of a marriage without the responsibilities of a marriage. Hello, somebody. I wasn't going to go there. It's not in the notes, but I just. We have some church folks enjoying all the benefits of the church without the responsibilities of supporting the church. If you want the blessing, you got to step up to the responsibility. And so Now God was saying to Amos that their presumption was not acceptable, and he was telling them that things had to change. And I want you to know that if you continue to walk in disobedience to the word of God and to the will of God, there will come a time where God will implement changes. And some of the changes you may not like, but God is still God. And he has the ability to do whatever he wants to do, regardless of your circumstances. And so the simple fact is that God loved Israel enough to send a messenger through the prophet Amos to tell these folks what is to come. And so God is about to pronounce judgment on them. And this is the part, Brother Bram, that gets me, because God didn't have to warn them that he was going to judge them. He could have just sent some hail and some brimstone and some fire down from heaven without any notice. But because of his great love, he chose to send a message to give them a forewarning of what's to come. Today I want to say to you that if you hear the warnings of God, if you hear the voice of God, do not harden your heart to what God is saying to you. Because he's doing that because of his great love for you and for me. If you have a chance to change, you better take that opportunity to change. They have been warned, and there's a reason for that, because God wanted them to be his people. He did not want them to have divided hearts and divided minds. He wanted full custody of his children like you and I would have. What was the purpose for God choosing this group of people as his own? Well, you know, sometimes when you think of starting a family, a child that is born to a couple, you know, could be the result of maybe too much wine on a Friday night. But when you have an adoption, that child knows that you went out of your way deliberately to adopt him or her, because that was a conscious decision, not influenced by any mood-altering substances. Hello, somebody. And so there is a reason for this love for the children of Israel, because God is choosing to love them on his own premonition, and he's choosing to love them because this is the desire of his heart. And I want you to know that it is a great thing when someone chooses to love you. You feel honored. You feel respected. You feel special. You feel valued. And I want you to know, New Hope, that the same feeling that you get when God loves you is the same feeling we get from each other when we love each other. When we come to church and we walk out and we don't talk to each other, that is not the love of God. But it's a good feeling when you come to church and somebody, when you say hello, can smile back at you. It's a good feeling when you can stretch out your hand for a handshake and it could be reciprocated. It's a good feeling when you're preaching and the people are with you and not looking at you like they had lemon juice all night in the coffee or something. I mean, it's a good feeling. You feel supported. It's wanted. And so I came by to tell you, just like God loved the children of Israel, he loves us and continues to love us. And so it's an honor for us to be loved by God. The love of God guides me along my way. Do you know anything about the love of God today? You know, we can talk about Israel, but if you can't have any examples of God's love in your life, something is wrong. So I want you to know that the love of God is real this morning. Not only does it guide me along my way, but the love of God never lets me go astray. Do I have any witnesses in the house? The love of God makes me know that I am right. The love of God leads me in the light. The love of God walks with me, and the love of God talks with me. The love of God makes my blinded eyes see, and the love of God one day told me that you will be my God. The love of God comfort me when I feel alone. Is there anybody in the house that's going through some loneliness today? I came out to tell you that when your friends are few, you can call on God and experience a love and a comfort and a support and a building. Oh, glory to God. In the midnight hour, somebody ought to call him a little louder. Call him a little longer. And watch God come and put his arms around you. The love of God will pick you up and make you strong. The love of God is always right. The love of God is everywhere. All you got to do is open your eyes and you will see the love of God around you. I don't know about you, but the love of God will pick you up. It will turn you around. It will plant your feet on solid ground. Do I have any witnesses in the house today? When you don't know what to do, call on God. Don't turn a deaf ear to his voice, but open up your hearts and receive what God has to say to you. The love of God, yes, will give you a new mind. It will give you a new heart. It will give you a new purpose. It will give you a new direction. It will give you a joy deep down on the inside. Somebody ought to shout thank God for his love, because he's an awesome God. Israel. Israel. Sitting in a place of moral corruptness. Did not know what to do. But all they had to do was to look back and see how God had loved them. And I don't know about you, but when I look back and I see how God has loved me, the psalm says, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my soul cries out hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God for saving me. I wish you know what I was talking about. Thank God. God goes on to say to Amos in verses 3-6. Amos, go and talk to my peoples. Go check out my peeps. Go talk to them. Give them what I'm saying to you, Amos. Tell them that I had bound them with a promise of Abraham, the father of my people, and he would give them a land for them to live in, and he would make them great and make them a blessing to all nations on the earth, and that one would be born from their family and would be a savior to the world. And so because of this promise to the children of Israel, God blessed them, and they felt blessed in faithfulness, and they felt that that was it. But in spite of all of this, the nation continued to live away from God. Now, the people didn't want to hear the word of God, so Amos begins to speak, and they shut him down. They try to shut him down. And so Amos begins to ask them 7 rhetorical questions. And one of the questions he asks, can two people walk together unless they agree? And the very clear answer is no. He goes on to ask him a number of other questions. Does a lion roar if he hasn't got a kill? The answer is no. He only roars when he's got a kill and he's defending his prey. We've often talked about two walking together. And so I think there's some double meanings to this particular passage. One is, Sister Elmer, that unless Amos is on God's page, he cannot hear God's word enough to communicate God's word to God's people. First point. If we're going to walk together, there has to be an agreement. Yes. Amos could not be walking in his own strength, but still expect God to bless him. Amos could not be making the choices of his own life and then expect God to turn around and bless that. Because if that's the case, God ceases to be God and simply becomes a glorified Santa Claus, as I like to call it, where we ask for something when we want, God gives it to us, we forget about him until we've got another need. Alright? So, two cannot walk together unless they agree. Well, we've used this in marriage, and I want to say to you the same is true. Two can't walk together in a marriage unless they're on the same page. And if they're in two different pages, you're in for a very difficult relationship. There has to be a togetherness and a coming into agreement. And so people must come into agreement. So when you got the wife wanting to go this way, and the husband wanting to go that way, and you're wondering why you're crying the blues at 2 a.m, well, that's the reason why. Because you don't have agreement. And so there are many marriages like this, where one person wants to be spiritual, the other person wants to go the other way. That relationship, unless God intervenes, will experience significant struggle because two people cannot walk together unless they are in agreement. Then it goes on to say that, you know, now here's the illustration. Israel was not a very big nation at the time. They lived in the Middle East, vast desert. So for two people to meet up in the desert at a particular point, at a particular day, by accident, was very unlikely. If they did that, it meant they had a prearranged meeting to meet at a particular point. Amen? If you are going to get to a particular point in your life, you've got to have a prearranged meeting and a plan to get there. And if both parties follow the plan, then you will get to the destination. But if one party follows the plan and the other party doesn't follow the plan, you're going to have issues. All right? And some of you are looking at me like, deer is in the headlights. Yes, you're going to have issues. Two cannot walk together unless they agree. Now, when a lion roars, the conclusion is for sure. He has a prey, and he's warning predators to stay away. Here's what I pick up from this. When God gets ready to get the attention of his children, it's like a lion roaring because he's trying to protect his catch from the prey. Now, the text we read in verse 7 says, "Nothing happens without the Lord." Now, we live in a generation today where people will say that, the things that are happening in the world are just accidents and acts of nature and all these sort of things. Now, I'm not going to speculate too much on this, but I want you to know that this world, nothing happens without God's knowledge. I know that much. I'm not saying that when there's a mudslide in a very poor country that God is judging those people. I'm not saying that. But I want you to know that God is speaking to us in all these natural disasters that we're seeing. They're not just natural. There is some message behind them, and those of us who know God ought to heed and try to understand and comprehend what God is saying to us in some of these natural things that are taking place. Amen? And so, if there is no roar, the lion is still hunting. Coming to a cave where the lion is, if the lion is growling, then you may be sure that, again, he's defending his prey. No bird will be caught unless a trap has been set to catch it. And if the bird is caught, it implies that it has sprung the trap which has been set for catching the bird. In a city, the trumpet does not sound unless there is imminent danger and people need to be warned as to what's happening. Such arguments and conclusions are laughed at today because when we see these things, we don't believe God is saying anything. We just say, oh, it's just a natural disaster, and we forget about it. But there is no such thing because God is speaking to all of us through these disasters and these different things that are taking place. So the suggestion that God has given a warning to this community by disaster is claimed to be not wise and not of God's character because we only view God as a nice, loving God and not a God who brings destruction and disaster. But I want you to know, if God's going to bring blessings, he's going to bring disaster too. You can't have one without the other. So you've got to brace yourself for both of them. Now, Amos' message is very clearly and teaches that God speaks to us through the events in the world. And if it's true in Amos's day, then this is God's word, which is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if God spoke to us through events of the past, then we must conclude that God still speaks to us today through events, and he will continue to speak to us in the future through events. Now, you don't want to hear that, because it's not what you think God is, but that is God's word. If you conclude that only God spoke to Amos in the past, and he doesn't do it today, and he doesn't do it tomorrow, then God has changed. He's only the God of yesterday, not today, and not forever. But that cannot be true of God's word. Amen? And so, I want to say to you, don't ignore the warnings. Don't ignore God's people and take God for granted. The goodness of God is reflected in the fact that he gives them a warning. And all you got to do is look back and see what God has been doing in your life over the past year. Yes, I heard him say that, but if you look back, if Israel sitting where they were did not know what to do in the present circumstance, all they had to do was to look back. But Israel chose not to look back. And I want to encourage you today not to make the same mistake that Israel did. Because when you look back, you will begin to thank God for saving you. When you look back, you'll begin to thank God for healing your body. When you look back, you'll begin to thank God for his blessings that he touched your mind. You'll begin to thank God that he saved you one day, just in time. When you begin to look back at the goodness of God, you have to stand up and testify. When you think and you look back at the goodness of God, you have to give him praise and say, thank you for your gratefulness. Thank you for your faithfulness. You have to conclude that had it not been for God on my side, where would I be today? And so Israel was in a place where they did not know how to move forward, and they felt stuck, but they stayed in that predicament. But I came by to tell you that if you can just have a little bit of a vision to look back to see where you came from, it will give you perspective and help you get unstuck today so you can move forward from your history into your destiny. Well, let's look upon God's guidance. In verses 7 to 15, I'm coming up close. In verses 7 to 15, primarily in verse number 10, again, Israel does not know how to do right. And God is predicting that he's going to send, he's called some nations, he's called in verse number, let's go into verse number 15, he says, I will destroy Bethel, he's going to destroy the altars of false worship. In verses 9, he called Ashdod and Egypt, which are heathen territories, and he's going to have them sit and watch what God is doing to his children. You know what? The enemies watch what he's doing to his children. As a matter of fact, he goes on to say in the word that when he's finished with them, it will be like when a lion discovers or when a shepherd discovers that his sheep has been killed and only a leg or an ear is sticking out of the lion's mouth. That's all they're going to grab, meaning that there's only going to be a smaller remnant left over. That's what God is saying he's going to do with Israel. But Israel doesn't have to go through that because at any given minute, they can stand up as a nation and they can repent. Yeah. And anytime Israel began to repent, God changes his mind. Yeah. I want to say the truth. I want to say this to you today, that if you feel that you have been living outside of God's covenant relationship, I want you to know that at any given time, even today, it doesn't matter what you have done. Yeah. It doesn't matter where you've been, who you've been with, or who you hadn't been with, what you smoke, what you didn't snort, what you injected, it does not matter. All that matters is that at this given day, if you heard the warning and if you hear the warnings of Almighty God, you can stand up and repent and God will give you a second chance because he is a second chance kind of God. He did it for me and he did it for you and he'll do it again. And so no matter your circumstances, give God an opportunity to bring about his blessings in your life. And so here was the text goes on to say that Israel had lost their moral compass. They were stuck where they were. Moving forward, my brother, was very unclear. And it's a bad place to be when you can't look into the future. You've got no help right now and you can't see past your nose. But I dare you to call on God if that's your circumstances. You might not be able to see, but I want you to know the telescopic eyes of God shines through for this world. Well, now they could not look back, but all they couldn't move forward, but they could look back. They've got options, and I want you to know that whatever situation you are in, you've got options. If you don't utilize the options, that's your business, but you always have options. God had chosen Israel to be his own people. He had bound them with a promise of Abraham, and he promised them future victory and blessings. And all Israel had to do, my brothers and sisters, was to look back at the good hand of God and his guidance over their lives, over the generations that they'd experienced, from their deliverance from Egypt. God knew exactly what they would face. And I want you to know today, from your existence, God knows exactly what you would face. God had planned their journey, and he is planning your journey as well. He knew about their needs before they had a need. And God knows your need even before your need began to manifest. I wish somebody knew who you are to holler and holler, thank you, Jesus. Nothing in life takes God by surprise. He is already in tomorrow, and he knows what you will face even before you get there. He knows the sicknesses that some of you may develop. He knows the grief that you might be going through even before there is a death in the family. He knows about the bills that are yet to be paid. He knows that if you would just turn your heart to him, that he will give you a second chance. I'm glad this morning that I serve a God who knows what I need before I need it, because God is aware. Does anybody know that God is aware today? He's able to meet your needs as well. Years before Israel arrived at their present destination, God caused a seed to germinate in a place where they would need it, and fed them manna as they wandered through the wilderness. Yeah, he knew that would be the case with the children of Israel. And I want you to know that he's still planting seeds in our lives today, so that when we get to the point where we caught up with him, we'll be able to receive the blessings. You will never face a need in your life that God doesn't already know about. If that ever sinks in, it will change your life and my life forever. If Israel had never faced the bitter times, they would never know the aspect of God's great character. Job would never know that God could restore him unless he gave God everything up. Lazarus would not know the joy of life unless he had first died. Mary and Martha would not know Jesus as the resurrection and the life unless they first encountered grief. What I'm trying to say to you is that the Lord uses the bitter episodes of life to reveal himself more fully to his children. I wish somebody would hear me this morning. And so when you stand at the bitter waters, God will help you to know that he is still on the throne and he is still in control. The key, my friends, is to learn not to kick and fight against God, but to rest in his power and to allow him to have his way in your life. You don't hear me this morning. Israel had forgotten that earth has no problems that heaven can't solve. They had forgotten that it was no secret what God can do. They had forgotten that just a few years previous, Jehovah had brought them, Tony, from slavery, from the harsh taskmasters of Egypt, where they had to make bricks without straws for 400 years. They had forgotten what God had done for them. Sometimes all you got to do is just to look back. Israel has soon forgotten that it was Jehovah who had disguised himself in the form of a pillar by fire by night and a cloud by day and led them through the wilderness. Verse 10 says they did not know how to do right, but all they had to do was to look back just a little bit. And while he led them safely through the wilderness, feeding them quail on manna from on high. Ah, yes, he dressed them up in one suit of clothes and one pair of shoes. that lasted for 40 years. That must have been some good letter. Yes, they had soon forgotten that. They had forgotten that it was Jehovah who had sent angels to bury, as pallbearers, to bury their leader Moses. They had forgotten how God provided. They had forgotten that Jehovah had given them a new young leader by the name of Joshua, who went down to Jordan, spoke to Jordan, and Jordan rolled back like a scroll and allowed all the ladies from Eaton's and Sayers and the Bay to walk over in their Toledo's on dry ground. This is the kind of God that we serve. Israel had forgotten that Jehovah had been good to them, and that he had brought them a mighty long way. My brothers and sisters, you know that so many of us in the church sometimes so easily forget how God has been good to us, and we begin to complain and complain. But I want to tell you that if you don't know how to move forward, just take a look back and begin to reminisce and see how God has been good to you. They had forgotten that God had been good to them. So I want to remind you this morning that it is no secret what God can do. He knows your need before your need to exist. And so when you don't know what to do, just to look back. I begin to let my mind go back as I'm preparing the text. And when I look back and see where God has brought me from. Double, 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 double. I thank him for help and strength. I thank him for deliverance. I thank him for forgiveness. I thank him for walking with me. And I thank him for talking with me. Do you know who I'm talking about? His name is Jesus. He is a friend of sinners. He is a doctor in a sick room. A lawyer in a courtroom. When my back is weak, he's my leaning post. When I got no money, he is my supply and all my needs. I'm saying that all you got to do is look back. Every need that I had, God made a way out of no way. And if he's the same yesterday, and if he's the same today, and if he's the same tomorrow, then he's still on the throne. And he's still making ways out of no way. He's still providing needs. He's still bringing deliverance. He still mends broken life. He still renews bad hearts. God still continues to do his miracles. And I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, just look back at where he brought you from. Just look back at where you came from and begin to thank God for where you are. And if you can have appreciation for your history, he's going to take you into your destiny. Somebody needs to hear that this morning, because you are stuck and can't move forward. But I dare you to look back and say, God, thank you. Thank you for where I came from. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for unconditional love. Thank you for second chances. Thank you for victory over sin. Thank you for deliverance from drug addiction. Just thank you for my wife and my children. Thank you that I got a job. It's not all that I want, but it's coming. And thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord Jesus. Somebody ought to look back and give God some praise. Somebody ought to look back and give God some praise. He's been good. He still is good. He will continue to be good. Just give him some praise and say thank you. Might be stuck right now. Can't see tomorrow. But oh God, if he brought you a mighty long way, that ought to motivate you to give him some praise. Israel didn't do that. They remained stuck. Suffered the consequences. You and I can learn some lessons from their lives and give God some praise. Look back and thank him for his miraculous hands, his awesome power, his grace and mercy. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Great is his faithfulness. Morning by morning, mercies I see. Thank God for his new mercies. Thank God for his new mercies. All I have needed. All I have needed. His hands have provided. Great is his faithfulness. Lord, on me. On me. I know it's 12:30 and I know it's hot, but I couldn't close this service unless I didn't give you an opportunity to look back at your life and thank God for his many blessings. Maybe you are here today and you do not know him as Lord and Savior. I want to give you an invitation to join me at this altar. And let's get right with Almighty God today. Let Jesus come into your heart and transform you so that he can become not only your Savior, but your Lord as well. Maybe you've got some other needs that you need prayer for. Join me at this altar today and let us begin to commit these things to God and ask him for his will to be established in our lives as we seek to serve him today. Those serving on the altar ministry team, if you're here, would you join me? And let us pray for these needs. Sometimes you got to look back to have perspective. Look back. If you don't know Jesus today as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to come and meet with me so that you can know him. Any one of these fine folks will pray with you and help you. Maybe you got some questions, some concerns, a need of some sort. Give us an opportunity to pray with you. Give the Lord an opportunity to do a great work in your life. Would you be obedient to the word of God today? Israel heard the message loud and clear, but did nothing with it. You would be just like Israel today if you remain in your seats after hearing the message and do nothing with it. Israel did nothing with the message. They told the man of God, shut up. You don't want to hear that. You will be just like Israel if you heard the very clear message. Choose to do nothing with it. The altar is open today. Would you give Jesus an opportunity to become your Lord and your Savior? Would you give him an opportunity to work out any other issues that you may have so that you can be transformed? Israel heard the message and they did nothing with it. If you hear the message today and remain in your seats, you're just like Israel, walking in willful disobedience to the ways of God, but expecting the blessings of God. When it doesn't work, it does not work. Thank you for your faithfulness. Don't worry about the person sitting beside you. They don't have a heaven or a hell to send you to. Do what you know is right in the eyes of God. Don't ignore the message. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Minister Albrecht, are you around? Thank you, Jesus.
remind me, dear Lord.
Sovereignty in that you alone are God and you're the one that is in control.